Welcome to Flick Through Friday, where I, KCMY, give you a movie review on a TV show, movie, documentary, literally anything you watch on a streaming service to cut your time in half and really get down to brass tacks to see whether the movie you're flicking to is worth it or not. Welcome and thank you for coming and listening. Today's episode is going to be on Top Gun Maverick. I got Michael.
I thought this movie was awesome, man.
And we got Sean.
Danger Zone!
And then we got Faustino.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
I would agree.
This time I'm basically taking a back seat. I haven't gotten a chance to see this one, but it's going to give me a chance to, like, you know, like, listen to what the other guys wanted to say. I will come in if we're talking about the original. That's really it. All right, so first things first, we're going with the story. How is it?
It actually had a story compared to the original.
It was a better story. It was a better story than the original. They had a mission that they were training for the whole time.
Yeah.
Now, who were they attacking? I have no idea.
You're not supposed to know, because it's supposed to be kind of left ambiguous. Since,
they weren't really attacking anybody. They were attacking something. And it took me to, like, the second or third time.
You know
time
what
to
I like
it.
To think it was?
It was a uranium... kind of uranium plant that they were developing that was a danger to the United States.
Yeah. It was an unsanctioned, like, uranium plant, power plant. And they needed to assemble a team of crack top Navy pilots to, like, do a trench run along a stream of canyons as to, like, be below the detectors of, like, their automatic missile launchers. Like, go up a hill, dive down, launch a few aerial missiles into that bunker, first to, like, crack open the lid, and then the other set would blow up the reactor base.
It's basically a suicide mission.
Yeah.
Like,
and then, like, have to get back out through massive amounts of G's.
Yeah, like, the pilots asked Tom Cruise, is this possible? And he said, I don't think so, but we're going to try it anyway.
So we're just going to skip to the ending? We're not going to talk about any of the beginning?
No, I mean, the ending.
The whole movie is, like, planning about training for the exact same scenario.
The whole movie is, this is what
we
got to do.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Like, one at a time. Okay. Hold up. We're going to overload the ears.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Sean... then Michael, then Faust.
Okay.
It was a good movie. And basically, they have a goal, right? You know the goal the whole time. The only question you have is, are they going to obtain the goal? And they do, but then some shit happens. And it's also, the movie is all about Tom Cruise's relationship with the son of Goose, who... as you remember, died in the first one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about that. It's also about, like, Tom not wanting to be, like, a relic, as he's referred to, because, the movie is about, like, this is an actor that's been around for a bit, and he's actually, like, one of the very few OG action actors, you know, that's still around. And his character, Maverick, is basically letting his superiors know that his kind are not dead yet. He's still around. And there could be more of him that can do what he does. And he's, like, the best of the best. And he wants to own his wings, you know, or whatever. Let the young ones know how it's done. Like, right. I love that mission where he actually shows them it could be done in less than 2.5 minutes, which was the original mark. Mm-hmm. And that guy, he puts it to 4, but then he's like, know what? I'm gonna go below 2.5, the original 2.5. I'm going to go 2:15. Forget you, superior, whatever your name is. I'm doing 2:15. And he did it. And they were like... they were, like, amazed at Maverick. They respected the man.
They would have to make that time because that's the response time the enemy jets would come swooping in.
Yeah.
Because their first objective is also destroy the airfield so they can't get any birds in the air. But also, the main selling point for me is, like, the relationship between him and Rooster, Maverick and Rooster, Goose's son, who we do see in the original but clearly played by a different actor.
Yeah.
And the two actors have a really great chemistry. I mean, I'm starting to respect Miles Teller more and more as a professional actor, even though he kind of had a bump in the road with Van Forstick. And the relationship between the other pilots are pretty great. Like, Bob is Bob was pretty funny.
And so what's the Glenn Powell? Is that his name?
Yeah.
The guy that played Hangman.
Yeah.
He was kind of a villain. He was kind of the same role that he was kind of the new Iceman. Right? Because Iceman in the first movie was kind of a villain because he was an asshole. He was the rival to Tom Cruise. And in this new one, Hangman was kind of the rival to Rooster.
Better term would have been rival because him and, because, you know, they're on the same side. Still they're both fighting for America.
But a villain in the fact that we
hate him. They're
frenemies. Just call him a rival. You don't have to call him a straight up villain.
He's
because,
the antagonist.
Like, the faceless jet pilots are the villains.
He's kind of the antagonist, though, because he's trying to keep our protagonist from reaching his goal of being the one to fight the mission.
Malicious. He was just competitive.
Oh, I know.
He just wanted to be the star, basically. And Rooster was, like, actually the humbled, like, angry humbled, but down the off, like, look, dude, this ain't about being, like, in the moment. This is about getting it done right and getting home. And he's like, but you're not doing it fast enough, son. He can tell you need to listen. You know, you got to move out of your past. And then I could feel the frustration when he insulted his dead dad. Like, why would you say that? You know, other than just to be an arrogant ass. But I felt like the actual rivalry that did occur, the long-term rivalry, was between Rooster and Maverick, because Maverick was just trying to protect him, but of course, you know, Rooster didn't really completely understand his motives behind it.
So I gotta ask,
and I don't want to say too much without like revealing the plot, you know, because
that's totally okay. I gotta ask, though, before we go forward, like, did they at least give Iceman a nice send off? I kind of saw a glimpse of that in the trailer.
He has some kind of disease.
He has throat cancer. Like, Val Kilmer in real life has throat cancer, prohibiting his ability to speak.
So, do they actually say that? Do they say throat cancer in the movie, or are we just supposed to assume that?
You're supposed to assume throat
cancer. No, it actually said it. It said his battle was... It said it somewhere.
They did say throat cancer in the movie.
Yeah, I think his wife said it, but it was so quick, and she was like, he's only got so long, it even hurts him to speak.
Okay. So, how many diseases makes it hurt with you when you speak?
what are the diseases he's gonna have that's gonna cause it that progressively, Sean?
I don't know. Simon is.
I don't know. Like,
okay, what is Val Kilmer's diagnosis?
I'll text him.
To be, are you effing? Are you being stupid?
I'll text
him. It's
right
clearly
now.
Throat cancer.
All right, let's move on. Casey, you have any other questions?
So let's go on to. So you guys covered story and acting. Let's go ahead and talk about costumes. I understand the. There's a hell of a difference in, like, the military uniforms between the original and now. I mean, was there anything else kind of, you know, particular?
I don't really remember there being too much of a difference between the uniforms. So one thing with Kashmir I do want to point out is Rooster, the first time we see Rooster, he looks exactly like, he's dressed up exactly, he's honestly, Marcello's cosplaying as Goose. He's got the mustache, the hair, and he's
and
got
the Hawaiian shirt.
The Hawaiian shirt and the sunglasses and the wife beater exactly like Goose in the first one.
Wife beater with the Hawaiian shirt, the aviator shades, and the buzz cut.
And
even singing the same song at the piano. Goodness gracious.
Wasn't Maverick wearing the same outfit he wore in the original film? Like, of course, at this point, he gets like pushed out of the bar by the time.
Well, that's Tom Cruise that got pushed out the.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. Tom Cruise Maverick, he gets pushed out, you know, because of can't afford to pay for the bills. But it's like, yeah, he did look like his dad, and him and Tom were the only ones besides Penny that were not in uniform. Everybody else was in uniform. And so I kind of feel like Rooster was that kind of like rebellious ass aviator that he's not trying to be like everybody else and dress up immediately, you know. But he's kind of like the secondary hero compared to Tom.
Well, he is.
He is. But it's like you can tell right off the bat, this guy is gonna be. He's gonna end up with Tom in the plane. You can kind of guess that. I mean,
I guess spoiler alert: he does. They are both in the plane at the end, and they do some pretty heroic, badass stuff.
Hmm. Okay, so how about the musical score? I know, like.
It's
at least
the
in
same
the original,
score.
It's literally the same score.
There's
it was less synth and more orchestral. than the original.
Yeah, I was literally about to say there's got to be like some different, like definitely something not different.
Well, there is
one... definitely like not even cultural differences, but just like period differences in how the music is played. Because there's a lot of electric guitar, there's a lot of synth.
Yeah, it's a remix of like the original, because.
Danger Zone was only played once, yeah, and that was in the beginning.
Yeah, and the because I actually listened to some of the original Top Gun theme song compared to this one. It's like it doesn't have that high electric guitar that the original had.
Right.
That
yeah. Like I said, it's kind of more narrowed down.
And I think it's just pertaining to. I don't mean to insult Mr. Cruz here, but his age. He's not as young.
Dude, insult him away.
Because he's not as young, so he's not going to get that really hyperactive.
No. He might.
He might come out looking at it. I think he's a good actor. Come out of the closet.
Honestly. He's going to come out of the shadows.
don't make him act like his Tropic Thunder character, man. Please don't. Oh, my God. That would be so funny. I will find you.
I don't think he was acting. I think that's just Tom Cruise being Tom Cruise, a legit producer.
I keep thinking about that scene of Tropic Thunder. Even though it's going off topic, that's how angry. We're not going to
talk Tropic Thunder.
But yeah, that's I mean, he's a good actor. Like he's very like he knows when to get emotional. He knows when to like hold it in, but he knows when to let it out on scene. You know. But of course, I hope from somebody to say he got very serious with somebody during COVID during the set.
No, it was not on this set. It was the set of Motion Impossible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He yelled at somebody for not wearing a mask. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And like I said, that's a Les Grossman thing to do, and so that's why I don't think he was acting in Tropic Thunder.
Okay, so...
So we got musical score out of the way. How about cinematography? Because I will say, this is where I get to come in. Yes!
Do it.
Tony Scott, holy shit... loved the fuck out of Planes.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the hell was going on in the original. Like, if you asked me to tell you what was the sequence of events before a plane, like, launched off of a Navy ship, I couldn't tell you. But Tony Scott, like, did it in a way where you felt like you were on a plane. And, like, I think that's the one part about Top Gun that kind of transcended past the fact that it didn't really have much of a plot or it wasn't clear about the missions.
Sure.
But yeah. It was just like, you really just felt like you were flying. Like, I think that's like one of the best parts of Top Gun.
Because it had shots from...
But like, is that like, is the new one kind of like that?
Yeah,
is
it? I think so.
It's a lot like that. It's different
angles
of
the plane flying, taking off, landing. It's like...
No, not just like due to angles, but the fact that they had like the actors in the cockpits, like co-piloting with like the legit Top Gun people.
Yeah.
And also adding to their performances, like you heard them, like heard the guttural noises they made when like the G's are like... When the G's are like the force hits them, they're all like,
it's like they're like smoking air, and you're like and flares, launch flares. You can feel the urgency, like especially with the last few fight scenes. I would say is like they're trying to evade these next generation what's it called
F-14s?
No, they're not F-14s. F-18s. Generation 5s or something like that. New generation pilots. So they're trying to really rapidly evade them. And they're constantly saying, smoke nail, launch flares, evasive maneuvers. There was even a moment when doing a bolt strike, which is basically what happens if a living bolt hits a plane. And it's funny because the character's name is Phoenix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Phoenix is a flaming bolt, but Hope Plane is what gets hit by bolts. So she's falling down.
Good connection, Michael.
And I made that deal like the second, my third one, I'm like, oh, why's it got to be Phoenix that has to go down? And you know, Phoenix flaming bolt, now plane's in flames because of a bolt. Hmm. But anyway, so those moments like near-death experiences, but from the perspective of the plane, you can actually feel the danger that's in these planes. Like, you can feel what would happen if you really got shot in like a split second. You have to be out of there. Like Tom said, once you hit your mark, you gotta be out of there. Don't even mess around. Don't do anything.
So then that makes me realize. Like, I also remember like this is also like ages ago. There was always like that split second screen of. Watching someone's eyes widen right before they go down in flames. Is that like in this one too? Or is this like,
no, because so like the enemy pilots that were shot down, they have helmets on.
They have, we can't see their faces
at all.
No,
one of them even parachuted in time, actually. And I thought there were no death scenes of the enemy, but apparently there were. But when I saw that guy get out with a parachute, I'm like, well, they at least saved the bad guy. I mean, they're not trying to...
I mean, we see emotion when they're, like, piloting, because they legit piloted these planes, and, like, most, if not all, almost all of the jet shots, like, from the outside and on the inside were shot in front of the camera with, like... And if there were CG enhancements, I couldn't tell you where they were. Like, honestly. Like, maybe during the explosion scenes when they're, like, being shot down. That's the only time I think they would. But other than that, like, beautifully done, like, in front of the camera jet effects.
I loved it how, like, they know when the tow was towing certain parts off to make the plane, like, drag back behind and then catch. Because Tom does this really cool maneuver how he tones off one of the propellers just so it can kind of, like, glide on its own so that the wind can drag it back so he can get right behind the guy and shoot him down. No, he knows how to do...
He did that in the original.
Yeah, he knows how to do stuff like that. He knows how to, like, make his plane stop a split second so it can drag behind and then turn it right back on so he can, like, you know, shoot and then get out of the way. He does, like, stuff like that. And then the bad guy does something kind of like him. He makes his plane glide at the split second. And then Rooster's like, what the was that? You know, and it's like some maneuver he's never seen before.
I'm trying to remember his instructor in the original.
That's Viper? Like,
Viper.
There's Viper and the other guy played by Tom Skerritt that I don't remember. It was Tom Skerritt and Michael Ironside.
I think it is Michael Ironside.
They're two actors. One was Viper. I don't remember the other guy's call sign.
But I do remember Maverick pulling that same move on Viper when he was like, "You can't beat me."
He could.
And then he got real pissed about it and like tried to.
Original, right?
Yeah. And like he just bitched him out and had him standing around the office. And it was just like. He's too arrogant. He's not good enough.
He's always got to do his flyby.
Yeah. And then he did that flyby.
Did they do a flyby in this new one, didn't they?
Did they do a... Well, I do remember... You're right.
Yeah, remember in the opening when Ed Harris was like... Ed Harris is the main general, like, trying to stop the experimental Mach 10 jet, and, like, flew right by him and actually blew the top of the roof off that, like, prop... stand, yeah. That shack.
He does a flyby, too, to his... What's the other guy's name? The...
Rooster?
No, not Rooster. The other guy that was gonna, like, ground him, actually.
Oh, John Hamm?
John Hamm. He does it to him, too, at the very end, right before he lands. You can see his expression. Like, as he ducks, he kind of has, like, this... Man, he just had to get me with that, you know?
Yeah. He also does a flyby in between the two jets of his, like, recruit trainees. And a funny thing happens where if they can't beat him in the air, they each have to do 200 push-ups.
Yeah. And then there's a situation where Mazzetto would not stop doing push-ups. The one guy's like, "You can stop." "No, I'm not going to stop." They're like, "Okay, fine." And they just walked away.
Let's go ahead. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. He's like, "What is with these two?" And like, yeah, there's some serious wild.
Oh, that was a cool scene where, like, Tom... what Maverick and Rooster, they were, I don't know what you call it, they were circling around each other going down. Yeah. Like, and it was kind of a game of chicken. They're like, who's gonna stop? Who's gonna pull up?
He's like, you can pull out any time.
Wait. Oh my god. Did they really do that in this new one?
Yeah.
They did like
It was like a chicken fight between Rooster and Maverick. They were circling around in a spiral going down, and it's like who's
going to bail first. Upside down. He's like, let's get it over with, and they just circle around like that and they just start diving down. They're not shooting them.
But what I'm asking is, not only did that happen, kind of happened in the original, but did he really just like repurpose Iceman's old line from the first one?
What did Iceman? I don't remember.
I didn't see the
first one. So it was like, "You could be my wingman anytime." To what did you say, Michael?
He said, "You could pull out anytime." Like, meaning that he can leave anytime. He could pull out of the fight anytime or something.
Sorry.
Something about I don't know.
Not exactly. I misheard that. Okay. Because I thought it was in the Quentin Tarantino-esque.
You can pull out anytime. Just make it sound dirty.
I had to stop. I was like, wait.
I think you mean pull.
He puts him in this situation. Like, now you're in the situation. You guys both in here. What are you going to do? You can pull out anytime.
Pull up.
That's what I was sitting over here thinking. And that was going to lead me to ask about the volleyball scene.
Okay,
and,
so
the answer, I just answered it. So it's less homoerotic. And I just thought, I was going to literally reference like the whole homoerotic part of the first. There's a different
type of sports scene where it's like football, but it's defense and offense at the same time. Because there's like, you know how like the quarterback like goes height to the, what are they called?
The quarterback, the receiver.
It's like, no, both sides are both have a quarterback and a receiver, and they're doing it at the exact same time. Both sides are trying to score touchdowns at the same time. No one has the ball. There's two balls.
Right, and what's cool about this scene, about the movie overall, remember there's only one female character in the first one?
Right.
This new one, there's three. And Tom Cruise only has sex with one of them.
That's pretty reassuring.
And one
Jennifer
of the female...
Jennifer Connelly, that's kind of an upgrade.
John Connelly, but there's another female character that's one of the pilots. And she's in the football scene, so it's not super homoerotic. There's at least one woman in this football scene.
And, a few of them are pretty fluffy.
Fluffy.
Okay. I didn't see
and, I gotta say, you know, just cover my ass here. I'm not saying being homosexual is bad.
No,
it was
not.
Just like there was just a really strong undertone of just like being like homosexual.
And they balanced that out this time.
Right.
I think so. Yeah. Adding that female character as one of the pilots took that out.
Why does it always have to be one?
Well, it'd be nice. It would have been nice if it was more than one. But I think there was more than one, but the only one of them had lines. Only one of them was a real character.
There probably was,
but they were background characters that didn't have any lines or like a story. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of also referenced, kind of off topic here, it kind of made me think of Tenet, where someone else I was talking to about Tenet was like, there was sexual tension between, what's his name right now?
John David Washington?
It's not John David Washington, but it was, yes, thank you. So apparently there's sexual tension between the two of them throughout the entire movie.
I didn't finish it, so I can't.
But yeah, that's where it was just like, will they or won't they? I was just wondering about that. And it's kind of like, my feeling is like, listen, if you're going to write that, just confirm it. We're also in Pride Month. So let's do it.
I didn't feel that.
Just go for that.
I didn't even know that, but.
But yeah, either way, it sounds like it's a good time. I'm definitely going to have to check it out myself.
Yeah, I even like the beginning scene of how he goes beyond Mach 10. Like, he knows not to do it, but he's like, I'm just going to go a little further. And then the other guy with the glasses is like, don't, come on, Maverick, don't do it. Don't do it. He's going to do it anyway. And I like the reference at the end of, what's his name? Hangman. He's like, you look good. He's like, I am good. I'm very good.
Well, that's because he saved them.
Yes. And that is the best part of it. He saves them in a split second. And he's like, hey, you look good. I am good. I'm very good.
And you see that guy will not ever lose his... He'll never be humble. He'll never lose his ego. But they are friends now because he saved his life.
But he doesn't have to lose his ego.
You can also
now.
Say the
he's
same thing with Iceman.
He's wicked sound.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring too.
That's why I said like, the Hangman is the new Iceman.
He insulted his dad, he's wicked sound himself.
He's
with the camera.
Antagonist.
Not only saving his life. He's not really he's kind of an antagonist, because he's an antagonist to one of the main protagonists.
Okay.
So
let me ask this just to kind of clear the air. All right. Is when you say rival, is it the fact that he's just going to compete and eventually beat Maverick?
No, not Maverick. Maverick is the teacher.
They have a personal vendetta against Maverick each other because of Hangman's cockiness.
Okay, I'll rephrase the question. Is it that Hangman is a rival because he'll outdo Rooster?
He thinks he's better than Rooster.
Yeah, they're competing against each other in terms of speed.
That's not my question. It's like, can he outdo him?
He
skills wise.
He can't because at the end, so when Maverick is choosing his team, he chooses Rooster over Hangman. He benches Hangman, makes him the backup.
I think he kind of did that for personal reasons.
It falls in the same category as
that.
It's it's more antagonistic because then if
he did that to make it up to Rooster for holding him back 4 years in the Air Force. That's okay. The only reason
that's an important plot point we didn't mention.
That's a very important plot point.
But the only reason I feel like he would have picked Hangman at some point if Rooster wasn't there. Like maybe if Rooster would have opted out and said, you know what, I'd just quit this mission entirely, he would have
sucked.
I know it would have sucked, but he would have chosen.
There would be no movie then.
Right. So then that means at this point he's definitely an antagonist because there is a skill gap and he's only attacking the parts of Rooster that make him comfortable about being who he is. And Rooster's technically a protagonist, so antagonist.
Right. Hangman probably would have got him killed. Actually, now that I think
because
about it.
Because he's so cocky.
He's so cocky. Well, and Wooster is not cocky.
Oh!
Wooster actually helped Maverick when Maverick helped him. That's the funny scene.
Well, they saved each other's lives.
That was so funny.
Now, we really are spoiling pretty much all of it, so.
This is true. Or I don't know. Either way, I'm still going to go and see it to kind of just pair this all up myself. We're at time.
Oh, man.
But yeah, definitely go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Top Gun Maverick, it's still in theaters and now officially competing with Jurassic World Dominion. Thank you guys so much.
Oh my God, thank you so much for spending some time with me on Flick Through Friday. Please let me know if I've been of any help, if I have been any help to you at all. Let me know in the comments on my Instagram and or Facebook. Please be unafraid to shoot me a DM. I am always looking to improve. Once again, I appreciate you making it to the end. You have no idea how much I truly appreciate all of you, each and every one of you. So sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And I will talk to you next time on Flick Through Fridays.